Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
737-1287. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. We're back to Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Welcome back to Cordishy and Coit on WEEI. 401-737-1287 is that phone number.
Just to clarify something we were talking about the injured reserve return rules. So your team has to play 8 games.
I thought it was 8 weeks.
Yeah, no, it's you have to miss 8 games, okay, half season, in order to come back. So that's why Isaiah Wynn is not eligible until the Cowboys game.
And in case you're wondering, you can only take back 2 guys off of IR, and N'Keal Harry is one, and now Isaiah Wynn is the other. So if anybody was holding out hope, is it possible James Devlin could come back? The answer is no, not this season.
It starts when those guys start practicing again. So when Isaiah Wynn was spotted, then we said, okay, he is now the guy that's going to be designated to return, the second guy.
Right.
I really love the rule because teams in the past had such a conundrum. Like, you know, if a guy's going to be like only out for like 8 weeks or is going to be able to return healthy, it was either like, I don't know where they'd stash him. You know, it was so tricky. But
right,
it's nice now that they're able to say, okay, let's put these guys on IR. We'll decide who's healthy enough that we can bring them back. They can help the team and whatnot. And so, and when Wynn comes back, I think it'll help.
It can only help.
And Tom Brady wants it to help. He's already said his name in certain interviews, you know, with his boy there.
Tom. Hey, Tom. Tom, what'd you dress up as for Halloween this year, Tom? I dressed up as a sexy nurse, Tom.
Oh, whoa. Hey, Jim Gray, stop it, man.
All right. And so as Nick said before the break too, Wynn cannot return until the Dallas game, even though he's back at practice, so he cannot return until the Cowboys game. He will not be in uniform for the Philly
games.
All right, let's go back to the calls. 401-737-1287, the phone number. Sean's in Connecticut. Good morning, Sean. You're next on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Good morning, men. I love listening to you guys every Saturday morning. I go get the coffee at Cumberland Farms, and I listen to you guys. Sit in my car and just listen. You guys are great. I wish you were on every day.
Well, thank you, Sean.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. We have fun. It's a nice
Saturday
morning.
I'm a big Cumbies guy myself. I stop at Cumbies every Saturday morning on my way in.
Well, I wanted to just touch back on Kemba Walker real quick.
Sure.
And I know you both remember when he played at UConn and the run that he led them on, first down at the world's most famous arena. They were a low seed that year in the Big East tournament. They started on the first day, and they ran the table because he hit clutch shot after clutch shot.
Mm-hmm.
Then they run the table in the NCAA tournament because of Kemba Walker hitting clutch shot after clutch. You guys must remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It was one of the most incredible runs I've ever seen.
Yep.
I said earlier in the show, I said that was probably one of the most surprised teams to win an NCAA tournament, in the sense that, not that UConn hasn't been a national power, that UConn team, not much was expected out of. And Kemba Walker put that team on his back and carried it to a national title, in my opinion.
He did. He hit dagger after dagger in both tournaments. It was unbelievable. And now, obviously, he's become a very good player in the NBA, and I'm very excited to watch him with the Celtics because he's clutch. He's a baller. He loves being in the gym. Like you said earlier, he's the kid that carries the ball around. It's just such a relief to have somebody like that compared to what we had to deal with last year.
Well, there's the word you just said, Sean. It's clutch. And I think that's where Kemba is going to show up big for this Celtics team. You know, that's why you feel good when you sign a guy like this. You go into the postseason, and say you're in a close game with Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference semifinals, Eastern Conference finals, and you need a guy between those two teams to take a big shot. Who do you want taking the big shot? To me,
you want Kemba Walker.
It's Kemba. Absolutely. That's the guy.
And he seems like a really down-to-earth, like, good guy. He's not, his head isn't as big as the gym. He is just a team player.
You know, you say that, Nick. I'll be honest with you. I'm comfortable with Tatum. I'm comfortable with Gordon Hayward taking that shot, too. They've got options.
Probably over anybody that the Sixers have.
Yes.
That's why I look at that and I say, that's why you feel good about the Celtics if they're in these close games in the playoffs. Size be damned. Like, it is, that's why you feel so good about the talent that they have. And you know what, Sean, too? Something that struck me about Kemba, they mic'd him up. I don't know. Was it the Philly game? Might have been the opening game of the year. They mic'd him up. And it was really fun to hear him and how he interacted already with his teammates. And he said to Jason Tatum, like, something along the lines of, like, just keep shooting. You know, just keep shooting, buddy. Just keep shooting. And it was just sort of like, you know, that would not be what Kyrie Irving would be saying. Kyrie would be saying, give me the ball so I can keep shooting. Like, to me, that was just like the trust that he has already in a guy like Tatum. And then to go over to the bench and a guy like Taco Fall, who's in a suit, he's not playing, whatever, and he goes over to him. He's like, "Yo, Big Toc, looking fresh, bro!" Like encouraging the young guy. Like it's just he screams like these leadership qualities to me.
Leadership, exactly, yeah. Nick. He just oozes out of him, and everybody's going to buy into it. I think they're going to have a really good season with him leading the way.
Me too. It's just fun.
It's fun again.
And no matter how far they go, it's really enjoyable to watch.
There was a lot of angst watching the Celtics last year. It's just the opposite this year.
It was tough.
Yeah.
Well, keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
We'll see you every Saturday.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy that Cumbies.
He brings up that Kemba Walker National Championship. I think that was 2011, but you know who he beat in that national championship?
I know.
His head coach, Brad Stevens.
I know.
And the Butler Bulldogs.
Oh, man. Yeah. What a run that was for Butler, too.
Yeah.
That's starting to, you know, be farther and farther away. Like, wow. Yeah, it's just, that's unbelievable. You know, something we haven't talked about, speaking of hoops, because we talked about it a lot last week. Obviously, because we had our coaches show, but we're through now almost a week of the college hoop season. Tuesday night, Scott, the opening night for all four teams in the state, really enjoyed it.
Providence shot the lights out,
Scott,
and destroyed Sacred Heart.
Scott, they looked good. The Friars looked good. You know who else said that he thought the Friars looked good? And this was funny because I saw a bunch of tweets about it. Dan Hurley, because the next game for Sacred Heart was against UConn, so UConn was scouting them.
Sure.
And they asked Dan, like, oh, what'd you think, whatever, and, you know, watching the game tape, and Hurley was like, Providence is good, man. He said he thinks they're a second weekend caliber kind of team. The way they played, and I know it's Sacred Heart, and I know what the opponent is and whatever, it's opening night, but what impressed me was there's a lot of dudes on the floor that can score. That Lawan Pipkins does a lot for the Friars.
I told you I love that addition.
Does a lot for them.
That addition.
Their transition offense was scary. Like, they get down the floor. And Cooley said that's a conscious effort. Pace, 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 pace. Let's get down the floor. Let's not waste time. Let's score, you know. And then on the other end, their defense was leading to that transition offense. There were guys, Pipkins, again, it struck me how he was just a gnat defensively against the guys he was going up against. You know, they were bleeding the shot clock with the Pioneers. They just couldn't get a shot off because these guys were just up in their faces. Like, the Friars, they really, really impressed
me. And they didn't even have Nate Watson for the game, too.
I know.
I don't want to say it's an embarrassment of riches because that's going too far, but the point is, Ed's got some depth.
He's got some depth.
He's got a lot. I mean, that's a good team.
And some depth that he may not have known that he was going to have. And what's going to be a great story, and I hope he stays healthy and continues to play well for the Friars, Emmett Holt is such a great story for this team.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he had life-threatening surgery, you know, he went through what he's gone through the last couple of seasons, and he's back on the floor, and he's helping them out early, especially in Nate's absence. Like, huge, huge for the Friars. I thought, looking at what the Rams did,
Jacob Toppin, my man,
dude,
Fats is on there.
But it was less, to me, the most impressive thing, and a lot of people are talking about it down in Kingston, is Jacob Toppin. Like, when those transfers didn't get their waivers, Antoine Walker and Jeremy Shepard, Jacob Toppin steps into that game. There was that highlight that Ian got, I think it was from the first half, where, you know, I don't know if it was Fats shooting from the corner, whatever, he missed the shot. All of a sudden, it was a perfect frame that Ian had because Toppin comes flying out of nowhere and puts it back in. And I'm like, who is this dude? Where did he come from? How did people miss on him and his brother? Obi Toppin's, you know, preseason, I think he was preseason player of the year in the A-10. Like,
yep.
You know, there's some serious talent there. And this is his brother, and he's got some similar talent there. If this kid's going to come off the bench and give them something, boy, that gives you more for Rhodey, too.
Of course,
you know?
Of course. I mean, because you've got Russell, you've got Doughton, you've got Langevin.
You knew you had those guys.
Right, right.
You know, but if you find more here, and I think Tyrese Martin can be very good for them. I think Dana Tate can be very good for them off the bench. But a guy like a Toppin, or if you can find anybody else besides those guys, like, you know, now you've got your rotation and you've got players that can help. Like, this really, Scott, this is going to be a fun season for college hoops.
But my point with Fats is, and you and I saw this a lot with Brown and Desmond Cambridge, right?
Yep.
Rhodey is very hard to beat when Russell is shooting
right.
50% or around 50% or,
sure.
dare I say, better. But if he's having one of those 3-for-17 nights from the field, which we saw a lot with Desmond Cambridge at Brown, it's tough to overcome those types of nights.
Absolutely.
So that's why, again, I hate to put it all on one guy, but he's a guy that takes a lot of shots, that mm-hmm. demands the ball, that wants to take a lot of shots. When he's having a real bad shooting night, and he had a lot of those last year, they're going to struggle to win. But when he's shooting the ball well, if he's around 50%, they're tough to beat.
Well, I was just talking about the transition offense with the Friars. Something I think that, you know, Fats can do more of, and he's dangerous with, because he's just so quick down the floor, and he's like an Isaiah Thomas, like he can just get to the basket and put it in, and it's just such a tight window of how he can lay the ball up into the basket. Like, if you can get him running down the floor, you know, you get a steal, get a defensive possession, get a stop there, you know, and you can push the pace with a guy like that, you know, he's going to score quickly, you know, and he's going to help them, you know, get some offense on the board. So,
and a quick word about the other two teams, Brown and Bryant, who squared off on opening night Tuesday.
Great
so Brown
game.
Holds on to win. Brandon Anderson hits the game winner with like 12 seconds to go. Little fadeaway jumper in the paint. Terrific move by Brandon. He was awesome. Tamanang Cho was terrific. I thought David Mitchell and Matt DeWolf played very well for Brown. But let me tell you something. I said to Mike Martin after the game, I said, that's a good win. I said, and I think we're going to look back this season and say, that's a real good win. I think Bryant will do very well in the Northeast Conference. They almost beat Rutgers.
Yeah.
They lost by the same score, 73-71 to the Scarlet Knights. But I look at that Bryant team. Jared Grasso has some talent there.
Depth. He's got depth.
You
He's
know
got
what?
Guys off the bench now.
I'm telling you, Naduba's back.
Yep.
Okay, we know Grant.
Michael
know,
Green. How about that Michael Green?
Green is a freshman.
Yeah, right?
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
14 points. I don't know what he had against Rutgers, but let me tell you something. That kid can play.
Well, so Green stands out against Brown, and then Jared's got this kid, Charles Pride, coming up, and he makes an impact.
He had a good game against Rutgers,
yeah,
right?
He yeah, he cut it to two. I think he had the last two baskets.
Yep.
I mean, they had what they wanted. They got the ball into Grant in the corner. He took a decent shot. You know, he had to fade away sort of in the corner, but, like, it was a good enough shot. He's the guy you want taking that last shot. Like, you take that any day of the week. That's... They are something, man. This is going to be a good year.
And here's why I said to Mike, I think it's a good win for your team. Number one, road win. Number two, I think that's a good team, Brian.
Yep.
And number three, you know, Mike Martin's Bears are a little shorthanded, right?
Yeah, they are.
They don't have Dan Friday, who is a super talented freshman who figures into their backcourt plans. And they also don't have George Mwanda-Kalema, mm-hmm. who played significantly for them last year and is a guy that can shoot the basketball and hit a three-pointer. So, you know, your team's thin. You go on the road. You beat a good team in the season opener. That's a good win for Brown.
Absolutely. This is going to be a really,
yep.
really fun year
yep.
for college hoops around here. It's great.
All right. We got one more call to squeeze in before we take our last break. It's JP calling us from 195. JP, you're next on Cordishian and Coit on WEEI.
That's an exit four as we speak. Scott and Nick, good morning.
All right.
Most important thing, Ed the Great American and all the other veterans, thank you for your service. We've got Monday the holiday.
Well said.
Amen.
Now, as far as the Celtics, I think of Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown every time. That was Kyrie Irving. That alley-oop to Gordon Hayward sums it all up the other night. Kyrie would have went, yep, faked it and took a 42-foot jump shot, clunked it off the rim, and didn't get back on defense. These guys look like they have fun passing the ball. They look like they have fun making a cool play. Moving the ball around, whether it works or not, a real big man, but you can see it already that it's, you know, I don't think it's going to be.
We lost you.
We lost you, JP.
Mott may be the one to go off and say he wants more time, but you could see it. They like making great plays for each other. You didn't see it last year, so I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Absolutely, me JP. Too. And we got to run, but thank you for the phone call. I think Celtic fans agree. This is a fun team to watch. Everybody's excited. Let's see how they do. I mean, nobody's putting this team in the NBA Finals just yet, but the bottom line is the fun's back watching the Celtics.
You feel like they're going to go out and compete against the best in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, hey, if you go out and you get the one seed, I was talking about this in the office last night, you go out and say the Celtics go out and get the one seed, okay? That probably means that Philly and Milwaukee are going to be slotted 2-3. That means they would play each other in the conference semifinals, which would mean you would avoid one of those teams.
You
I don't want to go
so far ahead of yourselves. We have a whole season to play, and you're already putting the Celtics as the one seed and Philly and Milwaukee as the 2-3.
I'm just saying.
What are you doing,
guy? I'm just saying. That's something I look at, and I say, you know, they can compete in this Eastern Conference. They can. This is good. This is all good. They
look great.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll take a break. 401-737-1287, the phone number.
Okay?
All right, when we come back, other guy, we're going to lighten it up a little bit. Well, comedian Steve Sweeney will be our guest to talk about an event that will be happening locally 1 week from today. You're listening to Cordishian Coit on WEEI.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.